Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. This is my last day. I've had an excellent time sitting in for Norm. These are big shoes to fill. And you guys have welcomed me so warmly that I got to be honest, I've been really moved by it. I've been talking a lot about it with my wife and saying I just can't believe Norm's listeners and callers. And it's just, I just feel like I'm in Norm's living room, and you guys have been great. We have a great show. I just used that word great twice, but you know, we have an excellent show for you. In the second hour, Jeffrey Clements is going to be here with his brand spanking new book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. And in the third hour, we have another author. His name is Gar Alperovitz. His book is called America Beyond Capitalism, Reclaiming Our Wealth, Our Liberty, and Our Democracy. You want to check him out at garalperovitz.com. That's GARALPEROV as in Victor, ITZ.com is the number. And then coming up at the top, bottom, toward the end of the hour, somewhere near 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock, depending on where you are, we are going to have Lee Camp, because this is kind of a comedy hour. I want to lighten it up going into the new year. Lee Camp, leecamp.net is the website. He's one of my favorite new comedians. He fits into the slot of comedian, but only in the same way that George Carlin or Lenny Bruce did. They were more like people full of social commentary that was funny. But Lee Camp is in the mold of Lenny Bruce, in the mold of George Carlin, and I'm not the only one who feels that way. So he's going to be coming up at the end of this hour. It's going to be your calls next. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman in for Norman Goldman this week. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. We'll be right back with your calls.
News updates at the top and bottom of every hour. 620 KPOJ, Portland's Talk.
Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman this week. This is my last day. I'm a little bit sad about it because I've had so much fun here. Norm's crew is amazing. Norm's callers, Norm's listeners. I've been getting great emails, and I promise I'm going to sit down on New Year's Day and return them. That's my New Year's resolution. I've just been crazed, but I want to go to calls. Let's go to Chris in Chicago. Chris, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Hey, how you doing? The skit was pretty good, but did you guys? I don't understand how come you're not going with the. Did you ever hear the financial crisis Inquiry Commission?
No.
You got to be kidding me.
I have not heard of it. I've not heard of a lot of things.
It's a government study when Bush was bailing out the banks and everything.
Uh-huh.
They were calling for a Pecora Commission. That's Ferdinand Pecora. You ever hear of him?
I have to admit, I plead ignorance once again.
Okay, well, Ferdinand Pecora was the guy that got all the bankers railed up for Roosevelt in 33.
Okay.
Okay, and so Pelosi and Rahm Emanuel got this Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission going to appease everybody. Well, the report came out before Obama gave his State of the Union this year in January. Hmm. And the report is unbelievable. It's on www.financialcrisisinquirycommission.gov. It's 500 pages. But they got a 10-page conclusion. I dare anybody to read through that 10-page conclusion without flipping out.
Can you give us the gist of it?
It's Greenspan, Barney Franks. They all committed fraud in the United States.
Where can we get this again? Would you do me a favor? Would you send me the link to that? I'm very interested in that. Send me an email at adam@madashellinamerica.com.
I'm not a computer-friendly guy, but
Say it again.
The website is the www.financialcrisisinquirycommission.gov.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks so much for the call. I love it when people hit me up the things I don't know. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Maggie in Washington. You're on the Norman Goldman Show.
Hey there, Adam. Thank you. Sounds great. As soon as I get home, I'm going to look that up on the computer.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
But I got into my car while the satire, I guess, for want of a better word.
I guess it was.
And I want to know where I can get that. Where can I hear that again? Because I missed part of it.
You can hear it. If you go to YouTube and type in Mad as Hell in America, anti-corporatite, it will come up. Or if you just in Google, you can do that. Mad as Hell in America, anti-corporatite. I've got it posted on YouTube.
Okay. Oh, it was great. I mean, cheers.
I had fun. I was feeling kind of dark that day. I thought, oh, I'm going to make this really funny, and it ended up being kind of darker than I wanted it to be. I appreciate it.
You know, unfortunately, some of those pretty dark things are still pretty funny.
Yeah,
I mean, we have to laugh through our tears.
We do. I just surprised me the way he turns the kind of multiculturalism argument on its head and kind of turns me out into a reactionary. I did not expect that. Maggie, thanks for the call and for the praise.
Oh,
I do appreciate
welcome.
It.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. That sounds really interesting. That 10-page summary sounds terrifying and probably true. There are lots of things I haven't heard of, which is why I love getting calls. Because people tell me things I don't know. There's a whole lot that I don't know. So we're going to be talking to Jeffrey Clements in the second hour, author of, I say, a brand spanking new book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. It's got a foreword by Bill Moyers. That's just terrific. I love Bill Moyers. He's a supremely articulate guy. So you want to check this book out. We're also going to be talking about a website that he's involved with called speechforpeople.org. You can check that out. And then in the third hour, we're going to be talking to Gar Alpovitz. He is the author of a book, America Beyond Capitalism, Reclaiming Our Wealth, Our Liberty, and Our Democracy. Doesn't that sound good to you? That sounds extremely good to me. If you want to send me an email, you can send me an email at adam@madashellinamerica.com. You can also check out the website, of course, at madashellinamerica.com. And I want to give people a heads up that I had written a rewritten President Obama's speech in Osawatomie, Kansas. I read it on the air last week. People are still sending me requests for it. If you want to get it, you can go to madashellinamerica.com. It's right there on the front page. You click on it. You can download it. You can read it right there on the site. And you can also, I think you can listen to it. I haven't had a chance to check it, but I have asked my web person to do that. When we come back, a very funny man. His name is Lee Camp. You can check him out at leecamp.net. As I said, one of my favorite new comedians, somewhere across between Carlin and Letty Bruce. Also dark, but funny, but really poignant and expressly political. And I really appreciate that. It's time for artists to get expressly political, not just importing politics into their art, but actually getting involved with politics. And Lee Camp is one of those guys. And he's going to do something he calls his moment of clarity. And he puts out, I think, about two of these a week. It's called Moment of Clarity. You can Google it. Lee Camp, Moment of Clarity. He's going to do it live for us when we come back. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. This is the place where justice is served, where fierce independence is the norm. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. When we come back, Lee Camp is going to be here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. We have a great 2 hours for you, so don't go anywhere. We are going to have an outstanding conversation with a gentleman named Jeffrey Clements. His brand spanking new book is Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. And then in the third hour, Gar Alpovitz is going to be here with his book, America Beyond Capitalism, Reclaiming Our Wealth, Our Liberty, and Our Democracy. And I know that sounds good to you. And in a moment, we're going to bring on Lee Camp, but I want to go to calls. Let's go to Rick in Seattle. You're on the Norman Goldman Show.
Yeah, Adam.
Yes, Rick. Are you there?
I certainly am. I loved your dad's work, and
thank you.
I like your work even better.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's the first time I've heard that. What's up?
Well, that skit you had a little while ago was really good. It reminded me of the Fire Sign Theater.
Yeah.
Except for real life.
Yeah, except it was, it's not fiction.
It was happening now. It was like, yeah. Oh, that was funny.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Good satire.
Good. Well, thanks for calling. I do appreciate it. Anything you want to add to the mix?
I would like to get a recording of that, and I think I heard that earlier, to go get it on YouTube. But
yeah, it's up on YouTube. If you type in anti-corporatite Matt is Hell in America, it will come up.
All right.
All right, thanks.
About all I had to say. Reminded me of sitting around listening to Fire Sign Theater, except for it was a reality show.
Right. If only it were fiction, that would be feel a whole lot better. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it, Rick. I want to bring on my next guest who's going to do what he calls his moment of clarity. He is Lee Camp. LeeCamp.net is the website. He does not necessarily fall into any simple categories like comedian. I guess that's the most convenient one, but I think that the work that he does is beyond that. He is expressly political, but he is also funny and a little dark like Lenny Bruce. Lee Camp, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
I'm on fire today. I'm having fun. This is my last show. You're in New York now, right?
Yes, I am back in New York.
So you do a little thing called A Moment of Clarity, and you put out two of these a week, right?
That's right. It's a YouTube web series.
It's a YouTube web series called I Discovered Lee. I was just banging around, and I discovered Lee, and I was instantly riveted. So, Lee, I'm just going to let you have at it. Do your moment of clarity. Do your thing here on the Norman Goldman Show. Floor's yours, man.
Thanks, man. This week's topic is vulture funds. So picture roadkill, a really nasty mangled pile of possums splattered across the highway, flies and bugs come to eat the entrails off the road. Then, while those flies are feasting, some of them die on the carcass. Those dead bugs are then eaten by bacteria. Those bacteria eating the dead bugs, which are eating the rancid roadkill. That is the level of a special kind of private equity group called a vulture fund. Vulture funds buy up the debt of desperate countries like the Congo, where drinking a glass of water is as rare as winning the lottery or meeting a non-creepy Scientologist. So these guys buy, let's say, $30 million of debt for $3 million from a corrupt leader in a third country. They then sue the Congo for $100 million. So any money that Vulture collects comes from food or AIDS medication meant for starving people in Africa. Some people consider this morally vomitous, but listen, everything is relative. Need is relative. Maybe that millionaire vulture feels he needs to own a helicopter as much as little Karame and Kinshasa feels he needs to eat something to survive. Or maybe Mr. Vulture's wife desperately wants a $7,000 bra made from the armpit hair of a rare ring-tailed lemur, and she wants it as much as a Congolese 7-year-old wants his cholera medicine. Who are we to say whose need is greater? Stop being a self-righteous jerk. Last week, one of these vultures actually responded to the charge that he's a roadkill bug poop eating bacterium slime. His response was that the Congolese paying him $100 million in AIDS relief funds was good for the destitute country because it showed they were financially healthy, so other investors would come to them. That's like saying robbing someone's store is good for business because it shows they have enough cool stuff to be robbed. It's like saying someone chopping off your manhood is good for your dating life because it shows other women that you're sought after. And then you can hang out at the bar going, yeah, baby, my junk is so good it was stolen. The vulture also said, look, we have been exceedingly flexible with our offers. We've offered payment plans. We've been willing to take a 66% discount. So imagine, this is like your kids are starving. You have two sandwiches to give them to keep them alive, and then an obese guy with a gold chain and a gun walks up and says, give me the sandwiches. You say no, then he says, well, okay. What if you give me one of the sandwiches now and the other sandwich an hour from now, and I let you keep a pickle slice? Would you respond, oh, my God, this guy is a saint. I thought Mother Teresa was dead, but no, she's right here in front of me, my own personal Oscar Schindler. Here's your sandwich, sir. I'll have the other one for you in an hour. You're a hero. These vulture funds are yet another example of just how much greed has run amok. It's truly amazing that these rich tools are not ridiculed and detested, mocked and arrested, but instead these wealthy roadkill digesting bacteria are well-respected mega capitalists who might even live in your neighborhood.
Lee Camp, everybody, leecamp.net. You can get these in your inbox like I do. They brighten my day, give me a chuckle, and they also remind me about what's important. Lee Camp, thanks for coming on the Norman Goldman Show.
Thank you, Adam.
That was great. Lee Camp, as I said, one of my favorite comedians because, as I said, he brings it to the political. He brings himself to the political. He's been involved in the Occupy movement. He's gone down there. He's attended GAs. He's a part of it. We must become a part of it. Artists too often stand outside of politics and comment. I think what we need are artists applying themselves directly to politics. This is how we will bring imagination into the mix. Enough business, enough law. Let's get some creativity. Let's get some imagination, some passion, and inspiration into our politics. Don't you think that's what we really need? Let's go to more calls. Let's go to Jeremy in Aurora. Jeremy, you're on the Norman Goldman Show.
Hi, how you doing? Having a blast listening to you all week.
Oh, good. I'm having fun today.
That's good. I meant to chime in with the whole abortion thing you had going on yesterday, but I didn't get a chance.
Okay, go for it.
Well, I live real close to kind of a yuppie town called Naperville.
And
I was cutting through one day, and I saw all these people lined up against a major route with pictures of children in late abortion term, just really disgusting stuff. And I really didn't think that the people needed that in their face on a Saturday morning while they're trying to enjoy the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's just disgusting. I mean, and it's just sensationalism. It's just fear. And, you know, these are the people that are supposed to be full of compassion. But what they do is they're really about terror. You know, they're just trying to terrify people. It's like these ultra uber religious people. They talk so much about Satan that I don't think that they're thinking much about God because they're so involved with Satan. They're talking about compassion for the unborn, but they have no compassion for the person who carries this dilemma of an unwanted pregnancy.
I also had something else when it comes to all these politicians that have been able to go under the radar and actually commit crimes against humanity. If you're a murderer and you're caught, you're usually sentenced to death, and you might affect, you know, a family or two, or even, you know, a couple of them because you've done your crime over and over again. But these people that are slowly destroying the lives of the, you know, American society, shouldn't they really be punished just as bad for their crimes?
I think people like George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, these people that perpetrated this illegal war based on lies against a basically defenseless country for so many ugly, selfish, horrible reasons, depleted uranium. I mean, that's something people don't talk about, but I mean, they have toxified Iraq for the next 100,000 years. I mean, what mad person thought of the idea of let's tip these missiles with depleted uranium? That's a great idea. I agree with you. These people need to be brought to justice. And that's one of the most frustrating things that Nancy Pelosi has done was that she took impeachment off the table when all of this came out. And then Barack Obama simply dropped the ball and said there will be no investigation. I think it was nuts. Jeremy, thanks so much for the call. I really do appreciate it. We got time for one more. Let's go to Sterling in Seattle. You're on the Norman Goldman Show.
Hey, Adam. Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
Thanks for the piece earlier. That was really fun.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And I'm really interested in your show today. I'm really looking forward to the authors that you're going to have.
Yeah,
but, I'm curious. I'm also wondering how much you know about the history of what a corporation, where it came from. From its European roots and the fact that all cities are incorporated, the states are incorporation. In fact, the federal government, after the Civil War, itself established itself as an incorporation and incorporated the states back into the Commonwealth. And this all comes back from a really nice visual thing I got while I was reading some de Tocqueville, traveling through Paris, seeing where real wealth, like the people that we call wealthy in our country, they aspire to these types of wealth.
Yeah.
When they would build their walls and put the wealth behind it, they would incorporate talented people, a blacksmith, a banker, a textile person, into the walls of the kingdom. And it's the same idea. A corporation, it's not a person, obviously, it's not, but it's actually an arm of the government.
Right. Isn't that the kind of the origination of this idea of a charter? The government issues a charter, and there are conditions of that charter, and one of the primary conditions is that they don't violate the public trust.
Exactly.
And right. And when they do violate, and also they have to provide some public good as well. So
well, this is why they don't get the criminal activities that they do not get prosecuted. Because they're one and the same of the prosecutors. It's a terrible injustice. There's no separation.
It really is. Well, we're going to run now. Thanks so much for the call, Sterling. It's a great point, a great lead into our next guest. Coming up, Jeffrey Clemons in the second hour. Corporations are not people. Why they have more rights than you do. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman, the place where justice is served.
Now, another hour of Smart Talk, 620 KPOJ, Portland's talk.
From the main streets of New York to the hills of Los Angeles, a voice is rising to serve justice. This is the Norman Goldman Show, the home of fierce independence, intelligent dialogue, and passionate logic is right here, right now. Sitting in for Norm, here is Adam Klugman, host of Mad as Hell in America Radio. Heard Saturdays on AM 620, Portland's Talk, KPOJ.
Hello and welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Bernie Sanders. I've thrown Adam Klugman out. I'm taking his place here. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm, and where we're going to talk about infrastructure. We're going to talk about the infrastructure of this country. No, I won't do that to you for a whole hour. I won't. But I'm at Norm's request. I'm doing the impersonations. I've only got about five. This is not Bernie Sanders sitting in for Norman Goldman. This is Adam Klugman sitting in for Norman Goldman, the place where justice is served. I promised you a great second hour, and I'm going to deliver a great second hour. Our next guest is Jeffrey Clemons. He is author of a book, a brand spanking new book called Corporations Are Not People. We knew that, but we do need to keep saying it. Why they have more rights than you do and what you can do about it. Jeff Clemons is co-founder and general counsel for Free Speech for People, a national partisan campaign. He worked as an assistant attorney general in Massachusetts from 1996 to 2000. During this time, he helped recover billions of dollars from Massachusetts, fought to end unlawful and deceitful practices by the tobacco industry, and directed investigations and prosecutions of Massachusetts antitrust and trade practice laws. Clemons also served as chief of the Public Protection and Advocacy Bureau from 2007 to 2009, where he led 100-plus attorneys and staff to actively protect civil rights, health care, consumer protection, and environmental protection. Jeff Clemons also founded Clemons Law Office, LLC, and has been representing people, business, and public interest since 1988. In short, he's our kind of guy. Jeff Clemons, welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
Thanks so much, Adam.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm having fun today. I'm really enjoying myself. I'm thrilled that you're here. I do have it right. This is a brand spanking new book, Corporations Are Not People.
It is, indeed. It's actually not even in stores until January 9th, but it's available online for pre-order right now. It's just coming out right now.
Great. You heard the last caller at the bottom of the last hour talking about, you know, where the idea of a corporation comes from. And in these kinds of conversations, I like to start at the beginning. So why don't we come up with a working definition of what a corporation actually is and how it came into being before we start talking about corporate personhood?
That's a great way to do it. Would be one Supreme Court would do two and actually start with what we're talking about, you know, which is what is a corporation before you decide to give it constitutional rights.
You know, Jeff, let's do this. We have a terrible connection. Why don't you try hanging up and calling back, and I will fill the time until you do that, because we really want to hear this, and the phone connection is just terrible. So why don't you try calling back?
I'll dial right back in.
Yeah, or maybe Skype in. That is also a good way to do it. Our guest is Jeff Clements. Corporations are not people. Why they have more rights than you do and what you can do about it. It's got a terrific, terrific foreword by one of my heroes, Bill Moyers. And he, in the foreword, he says that the Citizens United will do for corporate rule what Dred Scott did for slavery, which was to allow it to spread to every state. And if you're not familiar with the Dred Scott case, look it up. It's a very, very important case. I don't want to get into it now because it's a bit off strategy. But this is a terrific book written by somebody who really, really understands what the meaning of corporate personhood, who's spent the last decade fighting for the rights of people like you and me against corporations. Again, the name of the book is Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do and What You Can Do About It. Again, I always say this, this is not a conversation that we are having at you. This is a conversation we are having with you. So if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-888-321-6001. That number again, 1-888-321-6001. And while we're waiting for Jeff to give us a call back, I want to give you a heads up about the third hour. Another great guest, Gar Alpovitz. He's kind of in the mold of Jeremy Rifkin, big picture thinker. The name of his book is America Beyond Capitalism, Reclaiming Our Wealth, Our Liberty, and Our Democracy. You can check him out ahead of time. It's always good to get a heads up on somebody before I interview them at garalpervitz.com. That's GARALPEROVITZ.com. Jeff is back. Let's hope the connection is better. Jeff Clements, are you there? Welcome to the Norman Goldman Show.
I hope the connection's better.
Goodness, is that better. So much better. All right, so let me restate my question, and we'll restart the conversation. Jeffrey Clements is our guest. The book is Corporations Are Not People. So what I wanted to do, where we started the conversation, is let's try to get a working definition of what a corporation is, what its origins are, before we assign it the moniker of person. Let's find out what a corporation actually is.
Yeah, and your caller at the top of the hour, the last hour, actually had a good point. What a corporation is it's an instrument of government policy in one sense. You can't make a corporation without government creating the laws that allow for incorporation. You can make a partnership, you can make an association, you can make a union, we can make any kind of group we want. But if you want the benefits of a corporation, it's a deal that comes from the government. You get limited liability, things like that, but you have to go down and get your form from the Secretary of State's office, and you are essentially getting a privilege from the government. And back in the old days, when these first started, when our country was started, in Philadelphia convention that got our Constitution in 1787, there were probably four corporations in the entire country. And they were essentially instruments of state policy to do things like build a bridge across a river. And they would have a limited life of 20 years, perhaps. And then they would be entitled to certain privileges, like charging a toll to get that bridge built. That is essentially still today what a corporation is. It's a privilege from the government. But we've forgotten all of the things we used to remember, that these come with burdens and responsibilities and obligations to the public, not as private matters to just enrich a few people. Corporations are still today essentially policy instruments of government.
So the idea, another I think a more modern notion of this that I grasped and comes from my favorite movie network, which is the idea that when corporations were granted the rights to broadcast and make money from television, which was essentially an instrument of advertising, they had to return some public good because the airwaves were considered public. And one of the ways in which they did that was to provide information. And that is the source of why we have news on television. But at some point, we lost the spirit of this returning something to the public for the privilege of broadcasting on public airwaves, and then suddenly news divisions needed to become profitable and started to become answerable to corporate, and we've kind of lost this whole idea that doing business in this country is a privilege, right?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. On the, you've seen it in the media, we've seen it in the environment, we've seen it in our schools, in our economy. Essentially, a vast swath of what belonged to all of us as the public. We allowed business to make money off some of what belonged to the public, which isn't a bad deal if we decide as a democracy to do that, and to let corporations have certain privileges like limited liability and perpetual life and so forth in order to develop things like oil fields and that end up driving a lot of our economy. But somewhere along the way, the deal got forgotten, and the public aspect got lost. And essentially, we've ended up privatizing almost everything that belongs to all Americans. And we're going to have to work hard to get it back.
Well, in a minute, I want to get into why they corporate people have more rights than we do. But let's again kind of, I always like to start kind of slowly at the beginning. Let's go back to this idea. We've heard a lot about corporate personhood, particularly since Citizens United was recently decided. But the idea of corporate personhood has been around for a long time. It was established, what, back in 1887, I think it was. Let's just talk a little bit about the origins of corporate personhood.
Yeah, so there's what I'd like to the date you mentioned, Adam's right. It's the Santa Clara case,
right.
Famous Supreme Court case, which many now recognize as sort of the early corporate personhood case that gave corporations the rights of the word person comes out of the Due Process Clause that all persons shall be entitled to equal protection of the laws and due process and so forth. Well, that case didn't really decide that corporations were persons, but the court essentially acted as if it did and started striking down laws at the turn of the century that interfered with corporate business under this idea that corporations were persons under the Constitution. I think it's important, though, that we distinguish between, the idea of corporations as persons is not necessarily bad if we're doing it, again, as a democratic policy, small d democratic policy that we enact laws that say we'll treat corporations like persons for in the courts, for instance, so they can sue and be sued. We'll treat corporations like persons so they can sign contracts and be held responsible for contracts that the president signs, even when the president's long gone. So there's sort of this idea that corporations are persons in the sense of acting in the business sphere under state laws. That has nothing to do with the Constitution. The fact that Delaware, where a lot of corporations are incorporated now, says corporations are like persons to sign contracts, can't change our Constitution. It can't give corporations rights as people or persons under the Constitution. But that's what the Supreme Court did back in 1886. It was a serious blunder and created a lot of havoc not only with our economy but with our democracy, and really wasn't sort of put back in the box until the New Deal and the Progressive Era sort of pushed back. And I see a lot of analogies and similar situation today.
When they inserted this idea of corporate personhood back in 1886 in the Santa Clara case, was there nefarious intent, or was it fairly innocent in the way you're saying that we'll do this so that they can act as persons, sign contracts, be held accountable in the same way that persons might be, human persons might be? Or was there was there some intent there? Did they know where this was going to lead the corporations?
Well, yeah, it depends who you're asking about in terms of who has the intent. I think, the thing about corporations then, just as today, is they are relentless in pressing for power. That they have unlimited resources and unlimited lawyers who will go back into court no matter how many times they lose to come back another day and try again to get more power to enable them to get more profit. That was true then as it is today. And so, was it intentional that the railroad corporate lawyers pushed and pushed and pushed to take the Due Process Clause, which had just been hard won after the Civil War and 600,000 Americans died, to say all persons in America will be equal? Did the lawyers sort of cynically say, well, corporations are persons too, that means we get protection under that clause from state laws that we don't like? I think, yeah, that was nefarious, and that was intentional, and it was intended to usurp, essentially, a privilege that belonged to the people in order to make the railroad corporations and other big Gilded Age corporations more powerful to resist democratic, again, small d, the Republican democracy, checks and balances. And now, does that mean every lawyer or justice of the Supreme Court who kind of went along with it had nefarious intent? I don't think that's necessarily the case, nor do I really think it matters. I think in the end, it's this tension and trying to contain this corporate power grasp is in many ways part of being American. It's always with us, and we always got to push back.
Our guest is Jeffrey Clements. He is author of a brand spanking new book that won't be out until January 9th. The title is Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do and What You Can Do About It. When we come back, I want to talk about Buckley v. Vallejo. That seems to be the next kind of benchmark in this whole process. So I want to talk a little bit about that when we get back with Jeff Clements. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where justice is served. We will be right back.
Smart talk, something better than yelling for no reason. This is Portland's Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman. This is the place where fierce independence is the norm. Our guest is Jeffrey Clements, author of a new book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do and What You Can Do About It. And it has a absolutely brilliant foreword by Bill Moyers. Tom Hartman says of the book, quote, a brilliant contribution to the literature on the crime of corporate personhood and what we can do about it. Jeff Clements, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Adam.
So I want to make sure that we're going in the right direction. This is a very short segment. So we've got about 2 minutes for this. So, and then we can come back for a nice long break segment after that. But we talked about Buckley v. Vallejo. Is that the next thing we should be considering once we understand how corporate personhood came into being?
Well, I think I'm getting a little bit of feedback again on the call, but if you could hear me okay.
We're back in feedback land. You are breaking up a little bit. Let me try turning down my headphones. Does this help?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Okay, yeah, you sound good.
Great. So, yeah, we could go to Buckley versus Vallejo, but if I could, and I know this is a short period of time, I think setting the stage for Buckley, a case that essentially ruled that money is speech and that we, the people, are not allowed to limit contributions and restricted our ability to limit spending in elections, it's an important case. And what's really important for this story of how corporations kind of took over our Constitution and our government in our era is Justice Lewis Powell, who came onto the court in 1972, just shortly about 4 years before Buckley versus Vallejo was decided. So around that time, we have a lot of reform happening. We have environmental laws after the Earth Day. We have Ralph Nader and consumer protection laws. We have civil rights laws. We have a wave, essentially, of democracy working. And then we get the backlash, the corporate backlash. And one of the first attacks on these waves of reform and the laws that Buckley versus Vallejo, the Supreme Court case in 76, struck down were passed essentially in response to the Watergate scandal and the campaign finance scandals of the age. And by ruling that money is speech, it really dealt a blow to our ability to go after, basically to ensure fair elections where, you know, how much money you have doesn't mean how much power you have when it comes to the ballot. So that's it's an important case to talk about. It didn't just apply to corporations, though. It applied to any kind of money. So it's not. It's certainly dealing with that case is certainly one of our challenges today. And then with Citizens United adding the corporate piece of it, those two together are really what we have to overturn, those two Supreme Court cases.
You mentioned Powell, as in the Powell memo. Is that what you're referring to? Is this the same Powell? Talk a little bit about the Powell memo and what it said and what it was about.
Yeah, so Lewis Powell, before he got on the Supreme Court, he was a lawyer in Virginia. He represented the tobacco industry. He was on the boards of about a dozen of the largest corporations in America, and he was an advisor to the Chamber of Commerce. And in 1971, in response to some of this democracy succeeding, well, there's been a wave of environmental laws.
That's my drums. Hold there. Jeff Clements is our guest. Sorry about that. This is the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served. We'll be right back.
Join the chat now. Follow 620 KPOJ on Facebook and Twitter.
Back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norm. This is the place where justice is served. Our guest is Jeffrey Clemons, author of a new book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Adam.
So the book isn't coming out until January 9th, but you can get it now. Is that right?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, any of the online booksellers, and you can probably ask down at your local bookstore, too.
Great. So there's two points I want to get into. I want to talk about Citizens United. I want to make sure that we get to that, and I want to let people know about freespeechforpeople.org and the People's Rights Amendment. So I want to make sure that we get to those two things before we close this hour, but I also want to go to a call. So let's go to Kevin in Colorado. You're on with Jeffrey Clemons.
Hey, Adam.
Yes, Kevin.
Well, first of all, your first part of your show was fabulous. You said it was dark, but I just thought it was enlightening. And some of your previous callers had said that it was funny as well. And I just thought it was just fantastically written. And I'll tell you, you take after your dad. You're a fantastic talent. And I just wanted to throw in there with your guest, Clemons, that it's fantastic that someone is talking about the Powell Doctrine. I think it's so illustrative of what progressives and actually the whole country need to understand about this person and how they've changed over here in Colorado. You know, just to follow along with the Powell Doctrine, we've got Bruce Benson, who's the president of CU, and he's just right of Attila the Hun. And so, you know, Boulder is looked at as a very progressive town, but yet they have a very right-wing president of their school. And I think the Powell Doctrine has proved to be very prolific. And we have to create something like this in the liberal progressive scene that we can come up with our own doctrine to combat all these things.
Kevin, I want to encourage you and everybody listening to go to freespeechforpeople.org. That's freespeechforpeople.org. Jeff Clemons is the co-founder of Free Speech for People. There is something being done. It's called the People's Rights Amendment. So check it out. And thanks for the call, Kevin. I appreciate it. So, Jeff, let's get back into it here. We, of course, have limited time. I do want a point of clarification. We're not talking about the Powell Doctrine, because that is the shock and awe doctrine. We're talking about the Powell Memo, which is something quite different. Am I right?
Yeah, the Powell Memo, in some ways, is the domestic version of shock and awe. You know, the Powell Memo came out, the Chamber of Commerce actually called it the Powell Memo. It was a secret memo that Lewis Powell wrote before he got on the Supreme Court, really about 6 months before Richard Nixon appointed him to the Supreme Court. He's a lawyer for tobacco companies and other big corporations. He advises the Chamber of Commerce, and he writes a memo essentially diagnosing the problem as he saw it, and the problem was democracy was working. There's waves of environmental law, civil rights law, employee protections, things like that, and he called that an attack on the American free enterprise system. And his memo is quite astonishing. I go through it at length.
I think we've lost Jeff again, have we? I believe Jeffrey Clemons is gone. Jeff, give us a call back. I will go to...
Back.
Are you back?
I'm sorry about that. I am back. Can you hear me okay?
Now I hear you great.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was saying about the Powell Memo. It's an astonishing document, and I quoted at length in the book, but essentially he said the Chamber of Commerce should lead the way to organize corporations for a multi-year sustained effort to use what he called, quote, an activist-minded Supreme Court to what he called shape social, economic, and political change to the advantage of corporations. It was an explicit, detailed plan to create corporate rights and corporate power to essentially disable democracy.
That seems like a perfect lead into Citizens United case. Does it make sense to move on there? Should we talk about Citizens United and get people?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go slowly with it, because sometimes in the liberal blogosphere, I don't know what we would call it, progressosphere, the details get a little hazy. So I'll, again, go back to the basics. Tell us what Citizens United really was all about and what was decided.
Yeah, so Citizens United refers to the Supreme Court case in January 2010, and it's called Citizens United versus the FEC, the Federal Election Commission. And it's an unfortunately named case because Citizens United sounds like a good thing, but it actually is a very bad thing. It essentially is the end game of the Powell doctrine, so that the Powell memo, that now corporations have full rights as people under the Constitution, according to the Citizens United case. And what it did was strike down the McCain-Feingold law, the Bipartisan Campaign Finance Reform Act that was passed in 2003. It had been upheld as recently as 2003 in a case called McConnell, and it had restricted corporate spending in elections. Really part of the age-old American problem of trying to keep corporations from leveraging economic power into political power. So McCain and Feingold, a Republican and a Democrat, came together, bipartisan bill, and said no corporate spending 60 days before an election.
Right.
On these, and so Citizens United was essentially a front to challenge it. They said they wanted to do a movie about attacking Hillary Clinton, who was then running for president. Nothing wrong with citizens attacking powerful senators running for president. That's nothing wrong with that, of course.
No.
What they wanted to do, though, was fund it with corporate money, undisclosed, for-profit corporate money, and use the corporate entity of Citizens United itself, but also get for-profit, undisclosed corporate money to essentially run a feature-length political ad. And they said that...
After the 60-day period, right?
In the 60-day period, after the 60-day period, all the time. Essentially,
right.
They were saying that any restriction on corporate spending in elections violates the free speech rights of corporations. And that's what the Supreme Court agreed with. 5-4, in an opinion written by Justice Kennedy, five conservative justices said corporations have the same rights as people, and that the McCain-Feingold law is unconstitutional, and it doesn't matter that if it's Citizens United, it applies the same way to AIG, Goldman Sachs, Exxon, and that's why we're now getting literally billions of dollars are now available to pour into our elections, running these kind of ads where nobody knows who's funding them or where they're coming from.
And just for my own edification, so we get the history right, they wanted to run that documentary about Hillary Clinton, but there was an injunction against it, and then they sued afterwards. Isn't that right?
It's actually not quite right, because
okay.
They were even more aggressive than that. They sued the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, preemptively to essentially challenge
I
them.
I see. Good.
And it's a little footnote, ironically, after the case has been decided, Citizens United did what they should have done the first time and apply to be under the press exception, the media exception, and say we're really more like a media company, and they were approved for that. So it's really, it was a setup case to essentially create this idea that corporations have the same rights. If it had been called Exxon versus the FEC,
it wouldn't have gone over so well.
Right. Yeah.
So you mentioned the Chamber of Commerce, and so they immediately picked up on the decision, and in 2010 we saw them do some pretty sneaky stuff under this new Citizens United auspices. So talk a little bit about what the Chamber of Commerce did.
Yeah, and the Chamber of Commerce does sneaky stuff all the time.
Yes, they do.
The idea that we're talking about the national chamber, the U.S.
U.S. Chamber of Commerce, yeah.
Because really it is a front for a very small number of the biggest corporations in the world, but they create an image that they're just like the mom-and-pop community chambers of commerce that are in a lot of towns and cities in America, and they're really not. What they do is they essentially launder political spending so that it doesn't leave fingerprints of where the money's coming from. So the chamber spends what Tom Donahue, the president of the chamber, calls it a $200 million a year lobbying machine. And he's quoted as saying, when we bite you, you bleed. And those are his words. And that's really what they
do. $200 million is a hell of a bite.
That's a big bite. That's a big bite. And the money is not coming from, Main Street businesses across America. It's coming from some of the largest and very few of the largest corporations in the world. One example, when the health care bill battle was going on, the health insurers used the chamber to run ads against any idea of health care for all Americans, put $86 million into the chamber, who then started attacking it as somehow anti-business, while the health insurers pretended that, you know, they were exploring reform. And that's the kind of stuff the chamber does. And so you're right. Once Citizens United opened the floodgates for corporate money to come into directly into elections, something that was illegal in America for a long time, the chamber is a favored vehicle to do it because they can do it and nobody knows where the money came from.
And they were spent something like $75 million in 2010, isn't that right? And they were from undisclosed sources, and there was some controversy because they were taking money from international corporations as well and not disclosing that information, and that was kind of where they started to get on slightly shaky ground and people started to get at least conscious of what they were up to.
Yeah, that's right. And but you know, I'd like to make a point about that though, because the chamber became quite controversial, because the chamber just can get money anywhere internationally, and if they're not disclosing it, how do we know that these political ads are not being funded by foreign corporations? That was the controversy, and it very well should be a controversy.
Yeah.
Because we shouldn't have any corporations spending to decide who's going to represent us in Congress, but we certainly don't want foreign money deciding our elections. But we have to remember that's true of most corporations that we're talking about now. And we're not talking about Main Street, you know, many corporations in the country. We're talking about the biggest global corporations in the world.
Right.
And UPS Corporation, a very active Wall Street bank, and I say active meaning a lot of lobbying, and, you know, Phil Graham, the former senator, went to work for UBS after knocking down the walls of the some of the financial regulations that would have prevented the 2008 collapse. He went to UBS. They're very active, kind of inside Washington crony capitalist kind of business. The number two shareholder, one of the biggest shareholders of UBS, is the Republic of Singapore. Same thing with News Corporation. The number two shareholder, $2 billion of shares in News Corporation, another very active political corporation, is the Kingdom Holding Company of Saudi Arabia. So when people talk about the chamber, we shouldn't forget that most of the corporations that are pouring money into these campaigns and elections also are they're not American corporations. They're transnational global corporations.
It shouldn't be called the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It should be called the Multinational Chamber of Commerce. Our guest is Jeffrey Clements, author of a brand spanking new book that you must read called Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. And we're going to take up the second part of that idea, what you can do about it, when we come back. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. More with Jeffrey Clements when we come back. Welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norman Goldman at this close of 2011. This is the place where justice is served and where fierce independence is the norm. Someone posted a very funny little picture on my Facebook page of Ronald Reagan, George H. Walker Bush, and a bunch of other rich white guys laughing their heads off. And underneath it, there's a quote that reads, "And then we told them wealth would trickle down." And they're just laughing their butts off. So you can check it out at Madison Hill in America on Facebook. Our guest is Jeffrey Clements, author of a new book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do and What You Can Do About It. It is going to be in bookstores January 9th, but before then you can get it at all the usual places online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, no longer Borders, because Borders no longer exists. Jeffrey Clements, welcome back to the Norman Goldman Show.
Hey, Anna.
Okay, so do you think we're ready in this final segment to move on to talk a little bit about freespeechforpeople.org and the People's Rights Amendment? Where do you want to start with that?
Well, I think we are ready. I think most people, in fact, when polls bear this out, but so do many conversations people have with their friends, family, and neighbors. And people know that we've essentially had a corporate takeover in our country, that we the people don't don't govern anymore, and that our government is responsive to the largest corporations and not to the people. So the question is, what can we do about it?
Right.
And there's actually a lot we can do about it. It's not going to be easy, but it's the same thing that Americans have done before, and that's get a constitutional amendment campaign moving and reverse Citizens United. In America, actually, the people have the last word, not the Supreme Court. And we've reversed 7 Supreme Court decisions in the past to get women the right to vote, to get senators elected directly, to get progressive income taxes, and many other reforms. They only happen because of constitutional amendments. So that's what FreeSpeechForPeople.org is doing. It's what a lot of leaders, like Congressman Jim McGovern in Massachusetts, who introduced the People's Rights Amendment, Senator Bernie Sanders, who has an amendment now as well, and there's about a dozen amendments that have been introduced really in the last few months in Congress to basically take on this idea that corporations have the same rights of people as people do, reverse it, and get our government of the people back on track. So we are a government of the people, not of the corporations. And there's a lot of detail I'd love to share with your listeners about how they can get involved.
Go for it. That's what we're going to do in the 3 minutes or so we have left.
Okay, well, great. So freespeechforpeople.org is the place to go. Sign up. There's resolutions. There's a lot of background. And how we get constitutional amendments in this country. The Constitution says you get 2/3 of Congress. It's ratified by 3/4 of the states. We're not naive. We're not going to sit and wait for Congress to do it. So people, and not just Free Speech for People, Move to Amend is another one.
Yes.
Public Citizen, People for the American Way, Common Cause, many groups, many local groups, the Occupy movement. There's a whole growing movement, and it's not just progressives. We're actually getting conservatives as well, who know that crony capitalism is not capitalism. So we're getting a broad American nonpartisan movement to build this constitutional amendment campaign with resolutions in local. You had a caller from Boulder, Colorado. They've already done a resolution condemning Citizens United, the idea of corporate rights, and demanding a constitutional amendment. L.A. did it recently. Oakland's doing it. New York is about to do it. Albany, New York. So cities and towns all over the country are passing resolutions saying those decisions are wrong, that our Constitution is for people, and that we want a constitutional amendment to put corporations back in the economic sphere where they belong and get out of our government and elections. So it's really happening, and the way people can get involved is just check out my blog as well, corporationsarenotpeople.com. And that will there's links to all of the different groups, as well as Free Speech for People, and a lot of resources as well. So we need every American to get involved in this, and we've been just delighted to see that Americans aren't rolling over and just accepting this. We've got probably 2 million people now who've signed resolutions of various sorts about the constitutional amendment campaign. So this is real. It's happening. I won't understate the hard work that is needed, but if we don't do it, then we're as responsible as anybody else for the kind of country we're going to leave behind.
Our guest has been Jeffrey Clements. He is author of a brand spanking new book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do and What You Can Do About It. It has an absolutely brilliant foreword by Bill Moyers. Check it out. It comes out January 9th in bookstores, but you can buy it in all the usual places online. That's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere online. Type it in. You can buy it. Must read it. Must get involved. This is up to us now. Nobody is going to do it for us. Jeffrey Clements, thanks so much for coming on the Norman Goldman Show.
Thank you, Adam. It's been great to talk with you.
Absolute pleasure is all mine. Thanks again. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with a gentleman named Gar Alpervitz, garalpervitz.com. His book is America Beyond Capitalism, Reclaiming Our Wealth, Our Liberty, and Our Democracy. So the theme continues. We're having a meta conversation about how we take our country back and move it forward. You're listening to the Norman Goldman Show, the place where justice is served. I'm Adam Klugman, sitting in for Norm. Gar Alpervitz, when we come back.